When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to TC Live, the world number one. Once again, the queen of the desert won the last eight games of the match to take out Maria Sakkari and rule Indian Wells for the second time. Dropped just 21 games this tournament, third fewest ever on the way to the title, and the other players only played five matches. She did it in six. Eighth 1,000 level title. Kiss that trophy. Iga Swiatek is your champ as we bring you on to the BMW desk. Steve Weissman, Prakash Amitrash, the Hall of Famer Lindsay Davenport. Once again, Iga rules here. What stood out to you, Linz?
Just how she was able to handle the occasion. And Iga was an overwhelming favorite to win this title. She had spent about 5 hours less on court. Her path, she hadn't lost a set, and Sakkari battled to get there. Also, with how Sakkari finished so late at night on Friday, and Iga was already back up in her hotel room with her feet kicked up. But still, you've got to go out and execute. And once it got to four all, I thought, wow, is there a little bit of nervousness going on? You could just start to hear Iga kind of chirp at her box. They settled her down, and she cruised from there. Really impressed with how the world number one handled being such an overwhelming favorite in this final.
The situation... Certainly the biggest thing that both players have to deal with. But then when you actually get into the tennis, she just has separated herself so far from the competition, especially when you get onto a surface like this where she has enough time to be able to create that spin, create that pace. Sakkari is a player who can do a lot of different things out there, and she did her best to stay tight with her, but it just seems like there's only so long you can stay close to Iga before she just stretches that lead and pulls away. One of the best front runners we've seen in the women's game in quite some time.
Iga's going to join us right here on the desk to talk about her big win here at Indian Wells as we lead you up to the men's final between Daniil Medvedev and Carlos Alcaraz. But let's take you through the highlight. This rematch from 2 years ago that Swiatek won in straight sets. Sakkari, one of only four players to have faced her multiple times and have a winning record, no more.
Yeah, and it was Iga Swiatek who was able to get off to a dominant lead. 3-love had love 30, and Sakkari with a big hold and then a huge break to get back on serve. And you thought, okay, Maria's going to get back to playing the level of tennis we've seen at. Big pass to get it to four all. This is right when Iga was starting to make a few more unforced errors. Huge service game, was able to get a couple of free points with her serve, and then she was off to the races, started moving her shots around the court. A couple of errors from Sakkari at key moments, and Iga very calmly able to win the first set. Love the forehand. She was looking for it the whole match long, and it came up big on the big points.
Takes that first set, was up 3-love. A big comeback from Maria Sakkari to get it to 4-all. But then Iga Swiatek found her form. Let's look at the stats just from set one. Prakash, what do you notice?
Well, I mean, look, when you're serving those kind of numbers, 74% first serves in and winning 70 and 71% of both your serves, you're putting yourself in such a great position to be able to take a few more swings on the return of serve. And unfortunate for her to sort of, you know, lose that break back. But what I also loved is how many times she came to the net. She looked a little bit more comfortable than she has in the past. She's talked about doing a bit more work, getting more comfortable there. And when she's able to cut points off a little bit easier at the net, not just from the baseline, it's a scary combination.
You called this match, Lindsay. How was Sakkari able to battle back in that first set?
It was huge, that fourth game. You've got the sense that Iga was starting to really run away with the final, and it was only about 18 minutes in or so, but Sakkari calmed herself down in that fourth game, a big hold from love 30. All of a sudden, just kind of relaxed a little bit. It's so hard to play the style that Sakkari plays against Iga, because Iga has a bigger forehand. That's normally Maria's strength when she's out there on the court. And the backhand, Swiatek's backhand was a little bit more solid. So because of that, Sakkari had to take a few more risks. There's a few unforced errors early on, but she calmed herself and she was then able to win a couple of points, hit a few winners. Was just so impressed with that ninth game. All of a sudden, Iga, again, she found her serve. She's changed her motion a bit, and it paid off in this match. She was able to get free points. She was able to get more forehands on her first shot, and all of a sudden went on this huge roll of winning 17 of 20 points from the end of the first into the second. Yeah.
Prakash, what were you thinking at the end of the first set? Did you think the second would be a battle or all Świątek?
I didn't think it would go this one-sided, but I did think it would be kind of a whitewash in that second set, simply because there's so much cumulative pressure that Iga piles on you over the course of a first set. So when that starts happening, there's only so much you can do to keep it tight. Eventually, even if there's a little crack in the system, all of a sudden, Iga kind of lifts her game, your game goes down, and then you have that bagel set, which we've seen a lot from Iga in second sets. Players come out fired up, but then you just can't stay there with her.
Yeah, she's such a closer. Here's how it went down in set two. Another bagel to the bakery for Iga Świątek.
But once you got that first set in the bag, Maria tried to continue attacking a little bit there, but just not enough on that forehand. So Iga's able to get the passing shot by her, but she's taking rips on the return and just not able to let Sakkari get any kind of offense there. Not even Spider-Man or Zendaya could help Sakkari out there. Lovely to see them in the stands in our Tennis Channel suite. Setting to break up, Iga opens up her shoulders even more. Again, we saw that a little bit in the first set here. Attacking the net, just making her life even easier. Instead of winning the point on 5, 6, 7, 8 shots, able to cut it off with a volley here and there. But that's the pillar of Iga's game. That movement out to both sides, being able to dip that shot, come in, attack on the forehand. And on her serve as well, it was those 1-2 punches. A lot of players can do it off of one side, big serve and a big forehand. Iga, she's able to do it off of both sides. Both sides were firing, and even trying to put one game on the board wasn't meant to be for Sakkari in the second set.
And that's it. You can see the reaction from Iga Świątek. Nice embrace at the net. These two practiced together earlier this year for the first time in a while. Good friends. Iga had some very kind words for Sakkari after the match. But that trophy is all her.
Always happens, doesn't it?
And you think at this point, she's won so many times, she'd know that's coming, right, Linz?
Never quite know when they're going to fire those streamers.
That was the only thing that scared her all week on the tennis court.
Seriously, only dropped 21 games in the tournament. That's less than 2%. As you see the stats, first serve points won near 80%. 5 breaks in this match, more winners, fewer unforced errors, and solid in net. What else can you do, Lindsay?
No, it was such a perfect match from Iga. By the way, she lost 5 points in that second set.
Wow. I mean,
once she got that first set under her belt, she was absolutely dominant. Love to say, you know, we say, oh, we want a competitive final, but there's also something special about seeing a player play at the level that we saw today from Świątek. Starts to take it for granted sometimes. Like, oh, she's the favorite. But she's always looking to improve her game. She's one of the fastest players out there. She's developed one of the biggest weapons in her forehand. Now really has turned her attention to her serve. She wants to win these big titles. Love to see a player who puts that kind of pressure on themselves, then be able to stand up to that challenge.
What I also love so much about her game is that, you know, she hits so many winners all over the court, but her margin for error is just exceptional. It's so big. When she's hitting these winners, they're such big targets, whether it's forehand up the line or cross, backhand up the line or cross. It never looks like she's putting herself in that much danger. A lot of times when a player redlines, you know, you think of like a Bublik, he's just going for crazy shots, and if he has a great day, sure, he's painting the lines. Here, it just never looks like she's going to miss, and scary, it's repeatable tennis over and over again. That's what makes her so consistent.
Even though, Lindsay, she's 20-2 this year, only 2 losses, I feel like we hadn't been talking about her enough because she didn't win the Australian Open, a major that she's never won. She's dominated at Roland Garros. Of course, she's won the U.S. Open, hasn't done the best at Wimbledon, but this is kind of the time of the year where we saw that 37 match win streak start a few years back, and now once again proving herself. Doha title, Indian Wells title back in 2022. She did the sunshine double.
Yeah, and she's a big favorite going into Miami. She likes these conditions so much more, and that is really going to be the big challenge for Iga moving forward. The faster courts, we know that the courts at AO play very, very fast. The ball skids through that court, same at Wimbledon.
Yeah,
can she adjust her game to play on those types of surfaces, and especially if she plays some of the big hitters? These conditions here at Indian Wells, made for Iga. You could see it in her game. It gives her a little bit of time, and she still hits big enough to hit through them. Now the challenge for Iga is simply to now try and get used to the conditions in South Florida. A little more humidity, courts play a little faster, some more wind is involved there. She handled it, though, a couple of years ago perfectly.
And you noticed some real joy out of her on the court today.
We both mentioned that she just seemed to be just a little bit freer this year in Indian Wells. There's a lot of pressure on a world number one. You're always the favorite to win. She looks like she's really blossomed into that role.
Now 2 titles here, joining you, Lindsay, and 9 other players. And how about that? 3rd woman to get a 6-love bagel set in the final. Just Iga, Steffi, and LT.
Come on, Linz.
Love when your name is on the graphics, the hero boards. We've got our hero next to us. And to do that, but to do that in a final, Lindsay, it's got to take even more because you're playing the best player that week, right?
Yeah, you never take it for granted. And for Iga looking to get into a three-peat, really nobody's three-peated.
No one.
That surprises me with Martina and Steffi. But it the conditions, you either accept them here or you don't. And when you start to play well, you feel like you can play really on anything. Iga's going to be a big favorite to be the first triple winner, no question.
And maybe can join Martina as the only other woman to go back-to-back. No one's done that since Martina 1991.
Well, she's just been so consistent. So you're waiting for a player to be able to come and kind of take her off that throne, maybe throw her off the game. We haven't really seen too much of a pocket in the last few years where you're like, oh, you know what? Iga's having a bit of a slump.
Yep.
She's just been so consistent there. Maybe Sabalenka grabs it for a week or two here and there, but it's really just been Iga.
Yeah, what does this do for her heading to Miami, Prakash?
Well, I think Iga is very strong on wins on the board. You know, when she loses early in Australia, it hits her because those are the big events she wants to do well at. But going and winning that third title in Doha in a row, something she hasn't done before, gave her a lot of confidence. And being able to come in, pick it up again here, that's what she's used to. She's used to putting wins up on the board, 20 now for the year, leading the tour. So I think she's exactly where she wants to be.
And by the way, did not get tested much at all throughout the past 2 weeks as we take a look at the road to the second title here. Starting with a bagel set against Danielle Collins, a bagel set against Linda Noskova. Only three times did somebody push her to four games in a set, Lindsay.
Yeah, and really in the quarterfinals, Caroline Wozniacki, the only player with a significant lead. She had that 4-1 lead in the first set before some physical issues caught up with Caro. But that also puts Iga in even better shape for Miami. Wait, what does she have left in the tank? You feel like she could have played another five or six matches here, no injuries to speak of, and also the motivation that it gives her. As Prakash said, it's all about winning titles once you get to one, once you have all these majors already under your belt. She doesn't come here to get second place.
No, and on top of the fact that she hasn't expended too much energy out there, Lindsay, you talked about her demeanor and just kind of being a little bit happier, a little less stressed out there. That takes a lot less emotional stress on you. Even when you're winning, if you're kind of, you know, worked up and just, I got to keep this up, that kind of takes its toll. So the fact that she is more relaxed, go into Miami with even less stress on her body.
And that was some of the concern we had over Maria Sakkari going into this match, is how hard she competed Friday night against Coco Gauff and being up a set in a double break, having three match points, finding herself down a break in the third. She competed like we had never seen before. And sometimes that, as you mentioned, yeah, you think, oh, she's got all this momentum. A lot of times in an individual sport, that leaves you flat. And it felt like she was a little bit flat on one of the best attributes that helped get her to this final this last 2 weeks.
Stress can be so draining, both physically and emotionally. For Maria Sakkari, it was too much today, obviously playing the world number one as well. But Sakkari, I mean, what did she prove to you, Prakash, over the past 2 weeks getting back to the final here at Indian Wells?
I know she played well in Guadalajara last year, but I thought this was a career week for her. To be able to come through those wins against Navarro and Coco in the manner she did it and just be so tough emotionally and mentally in that third set, I think she crossed a bit of a barrier. You know, she has so much passion and so much fight in her, but, you know, that fire, it can sometimes burn you. And I think Dave Witt coming on with his cool, laid-back temperament and just kind of speaking to her in that Dave Witt way, it seems like it's paying off early. And you're seeing that in her moments. I love that reaction, Linz. At the end of the Coco match, as soon as she won, just nice and calm, got one more match to go, and just kind of went up and shook hands. Not all this energy release. Yep. I think it's been a great week for her.
David Witt's reaction after Maria Sakkari beat Coco Gauff, simply this. Yep. And it was all about that for Sakkari here. There was no emotional volatility whatsoever. And if you look at her scoreline and her road to the final, she was all over the place. Lost the first set that she played in the tournament. She went into this match having played 4-3 setters. And just none of it really took anything out of her until today. I think that match against Coco finishing after 11 p.m. and having to fight in the manner she did, I think was just a little bit too much to overcome against a player playing as well as Iga.
I will also tag a couple of the tennis points that have changed for Sakkari. You know, that tightness sometimes causes you to not be as aggressive and intentional on those big points. You know, I've seen her in big moments. She's getting short balls. She's hitting it and going backwards. You know, now she really seems to be coming in a little bit more, being a little bit more intentional with her play. Great signs.
Maria Sakkari making championship weekend is better for the WTA. Such a bright light on tour. Congratulations to her making the final. David Witt, what a great pairing for these two. First tournament together, they get to the final of arguably the biggest tournament outside of the four Grand Slams. We are leading up to the men's final here on Tennis Channel. We've got Daniil Medvedev and Carlos Alcaraz, a repeat from last year when Carlitos took the crown. And we've got Iga Swiatek set to join us on the desk. The champion here in the desert for the second time in 3 years. Polish superstar Iga Świątek going to come up here and talk about this win. You're watching TC Live on a Championship Sunday.
Carlos Alcaraz stops Yannick Sinner's winning streak, and the defense of his title here in Indian Wells is still very much on.
He's going to have a battle on his hands.
You rarely see Medvedev play below a certain level. He is just one of the strongest players I've ever seen.
It's haymaker after haymaker.
Huge match for both these guys. They're going to bring the noise.
And that noise will be brought in just about an hour. 5 p.m. Eastern, the men's singles final. A rematch of last year between Daniil Medvedev and Carlos Alcaraz. Looking forward to that one. As we bring you back onto our BMW desk, it's the rematch championship Sunday. 2 years ago, it was Świątek taking out Sakkari. Is it the same thing that happens this year where we get Alcaraz to once again beat Medvedev?
Well, listen, Steve, I'm a man of my word. Linz, I can't go back on it. I picked Carlos from the beginning of the tournament. I picked him to upset Sinner. I think we got to call it an upset given how Sinner's been playing. So I got to stick with my man. And given his form, what I think has clicked in this week, where he's looking very much like the Carlos before the first few months of this year. And also the performance last year. He served and volleyed and just kind of dismantled Medvedev out there. I think we're going to see a little bit more of the same. And that late night finish for Medvedev, I don't think helped.
Oh, I'll see you. Medvedev was my guy from the beginning.
Okay,
so look what we have going here.
He's raising me over here.
So we got a little competition going. But
we're usually on the same side,
Liz. No, not today. Not today.
I
picked Daniil from the beginning of the tournament and how he's been playing on hard courts. So like how he's managed his schedule. But getting to the final of the Australian Open, not winning, heartbreaking, of course. But he's been one of the best hardcore players, no question. Can he overcome these conditions? Could you imagine him on a slow hard court playing as well as he has the last few years here? I like his game. I've liked how he's gotten to this final also.
It was a couple of years ago. He said, these aren't hard courts.
Nope.
I'm a hard court specialist.
I would know.
I know these are not hard courts.
He's the mind games, though.
That's true.
Saw that?
That is true.
He knows how to work it.
He certainly does. Let's get you caught up on how we got to this final later today. The semifinals going down yesterday on the men's side. Yannick Sinner putting his undefeated season on the line against Carlos Alcaraz. Rematch from last year's semifinal that the Spaniard won. We had a three-hour rain delay in this match, but when they finally played, Prakash, it lived up to the hype.
Yeah, it certainly did. I mean, look, the way this match was starting, a couple of unforced errors from Carlos and exceptional play from Yannick Sinner, we thought this could have gone 2-2 in the way of the Italian, but Sinner kept it exceptional all the way through the first set. Carlos never got discouraged, kept playing his game. He kept trying to attack. It was just Sinner who was able to come up with a bunch of 1-2 passing shots throughout. When Carlos was attacking, dip it at his feet, pass on the next one. Early, though, in the second set, Alcaraz turned it on. Tried to find a little bit more patience with his aggression, and you saw a bit more of that. His approach shots looking a little bit more effective because he was waiting for the right ball to be able to strike and come in. Finished with a lot of these short volleys here. This is one of the points of the match. Both players having such a good time. You can never pick the winner here until the last ball finally goes out. Sinner with a huge smile, Alcaraz with a huge smile. A big pillar of their rivalry too, the fact that they both like and love and respect each other so much. Alcaraz kept up the aggression. That forehand was really firing there in the second set. Early in the third, though, this was another massive point. Great get there from Alcaraz, jumping on that volley. Sinner trying to dive. Racket coming out of his hand, kind of went over the wrist a little bit. Gotta love and admire the effort here from both players. But that looked like it could have been something that bothered him throughout the match, was grabbing it on the changeovers. But it was just Alcaraz, a little too strong at the end of the third set.
How about that? Gets a win once again here in the semifinals in the desert. Alcaraz over Sinner. That 19-match win streak is over. Reasserting himself in this matchup. Second straight final and going for his first title since Wimbledon. Take a look at the stats. The unforced errors, about 20 of those came in that third set for Sinner, and many of those after he damaged the wrist. But in the end, Carlos Alcaraz, just a brilliant performance to come back and win. Let's go inside the press room.
I'm really, really happy to classify for another final. It means a lot to me. play such a great level and be able to play another final. And of course, beating Jannik, that we have a really good rivalry. And of course, 16 match streak and be able to end something like this is it's incredible for me.
Tough one to swallow, but you know, it's hopefully we will see in the next days. Physically, I will be good for Miami, which is for me personally the most important, and I'm really happy that you know for him, because he is really great player, good guy. So
I love the relationship between those two young stars. Carlos Alcaraz, Lindsay, has overcome a bee invasion. He has overcome a massive rainstorm here in the desert, which never happens. And then beating the best player on tour this year in Jannik Sinner.
Yeah, it was an impressive reset early in the second for Alcaraz. You get the sense that, okay, he's going to have to start using his game and his weapons if he's going to be able to challenge Sinner. Sinner was able to play so freely at the beginning part of the match. A lot of credit to Alcaraz, who really controlled his aggression, if you can call it that, getting his forehand, able to start dominating some of those baseline exchanges. Have to say I'm a little concerned for Sinner with that fall and what happens in the coming days for him. Never easy. And Steve, you mentioned all the unforced errors that happened after that fall, clearly was bothered by that at the end.
I want to take a little, 30,000 foot view of this whole thing, and we talked about it. I think this is a very important win for Carlos. If you kind of backtrack, after winning Wimbledon last year, he got his heart broken in that Cincy final with Novak Djokovic, lost to Medvedev at the U.S. Open, didn't have a great fall, didn't really put up the results he wanted, lost in a match he didn't want in Australia, hurt his ankle. For his level, kind of been a little bit of a slump. So to kind of find this swagger back and beat Jannik Sinner, who is the hottest player on the planet, I think that does a little something for Carlos. So if he can capitalize and win this today, I think that's a huge statement.
Absolutely. Swagger's back for Carlitos.
Ain't going nowhere. It might dip a little bit, but it's not going nowhere.
And by the way, because of that win, he stays number two in the world. Okay. Jannik Sinner had a chance to get to two for the first time in his career. It's going to be Alcaraz entering Miami at number two. How about Daniil Medvedev and Tommy Paul? The American has been attacking the net on his way to the semifinals, going for his first win ever against Daniil Medvedev. And he really started strong in this match.
He did. Able to break serve three times in that opening set, Steve. But it was how he was able to dominate some of the baseline exchanges. His movement so improved. He's always been quick, but even fitter now. But also taking it to Medvedev and trying to be the aggressor. He knew he didn't want to get into long exchanges with Medvedev. So he was redlining it, and it was working for the beginning part of this match. Daniil Medvedev did not hold serve until the second set. Really unheard of for the big fellow. But that's right when he started to go to work. Got up 4-love in the second. But credit Paul, who did not go away. He kept going with the crush and rush, as you call it, Prakash. Talked about this whole tournament, how he's been watching videos of former players coming to net and finishing points off. Almost got through this match. But credit Medvedev. Again, 4-love up. Found himself in a second set breaker. Some of the best tennis of the match.
That was tough right there. Turned his ankle at that moment. He's up 3-2 in the second set tiebreak. Rolls the ankle and then lost that tiebreak heading into a third.
Yeah, and then it was tough going for Tommy Paul in the third, where Medvedev just got so much more comfortable. Again, we had two semifinals with two injuries, kind of turned the tide of the match. Tommy Paul then had to redline the rest of the way, wasn't making them, and Medvedev gets through.
Tough stuff for Tommy Paul, but what an effort to get to the semifinals here in the desert, back into another final for Daniil Medvedev. Let's take a look at these final stats here, Prakash.
The one that stands out, it's got to be the net points. I mean, this is actually something that Tommy can take away from a lot. He has just been a different player attacking the net the way he has. So huge positives for him. But also 29 net rushes for Daniil Medvedev. That's a very high number. It just goes to show you how much of an intellectual player he is out there. He sees his opponent coming to the net. Well, guess what? I'm going to adjust. I'm going to start taking the net away from you a little bit. And that thinking out there, the problem solving, one of the hallmarks of this champion.
And let's hear from him after.
Tommy just showed everyone how to beat me. Have to play on the lines, full power. As soon as he has have one shot, you have to go down the line, on the line, go to the net, play half volley, drop shot with the backspin, and it's good. You can beat me and make winners on the first serve. So I'm happy that in the end I managed to find solutions and, let's say, break through his excellent game tonight.
So I hope Carlos is watching. Now he knows how to win. I mean, not that he's already beaten him, but listen.
That's also basically what Carlos did right. At the final last year.
That's incredible to hear from Medvedev. But as you say, I mean, this is a guy who always kind of speaks his mind. Yeah. To be able to come back, Prakash, and win that match, pretty impressive.
Yeah, and look, you lose that first set 6-1. Tommy's sort of completely in his bag, playing the best tennis of his life. We all know how good he has been this U.S. season. He won Dallas Finals at Del Rey, coming in here. And still, in that moment, it's been a rain delay. It's late at night. It's cold. And you find a way to get into Tommy's game a little bit, all of a sudden stretch the lead and push ahead and win. He does that so often, finding those ways to win.
I was most impressed with Tommy Paul this entire tournament of trying to come out of his comfort zone. How am I going to make that next jump, which a lot of times is the toughest jump to make between 10 and 20? How do I push my way into the top 10? How do I become a factor late in the big tournaments? He's trying to add something to his game, be more aggressive, finish points off at net, try and come in as much as he can. I'd love to see that. Players who have the mindset of a champion, how do I get to the top? How do I stay at the top? They're always looking for ways to get better. Tommy Paul, it paid off here. He's on the right track. Keep going. Unlucky last night with a bit of the ankle. Yeah. He was playing the right way, but still a really positive tournament for the American.
No doubt. And how about the fact, I mean, as a coach, I mean, Brad Stein doing a great job. Yeah, Franco doing a great job with the Tommy's in the shape of his life right now. But for the player to be able to listen to that and actually execute it, that's not easy.
No, it's certainly not. He's putting in the hard yards, but you can see something clicking within his mind, too. He looks really confident out there. He truly believes like he belongs at this stage in the game and pushing into the top 10, perhaps becoming the top American, challenging for those Grand Slams. And like anything else, you got to buy in. You got to get lost in the process and not expect it to happen overnight. This is a monumental step in his journey moving forward. Now, can you build? Let's go see it more in Miami. Yeah. Let's build again and see where you are in December.
If he had won the tournament, he would have been the number one ranked American man in the world for the first time. Do you think, Lindsay, he gets there this year?
Oh, I think there's a good chance. I mean, obviously, Taylor Fritz has been great for a past couple of seasons, but you're always looking at players who are improving and getting better. I'd buy some stock in Tommy Paul.
Yeah.
We mentioned both matches. There was an injury that really turned the tides for Jannik Sinner, his wrist, and in this match for Tommy Paul, up a set, up 3-2 in the second set tiebreak, turns the ankle, and that really was the end of this tiebreak for TP.
Yeah, it's brutal. I mean, look, the game is so tough on the body, regardless, you know, men's tour, women's tour. We've seen so many injuries that have been gruesome over the years. But it's, you know, it's sad to say, it's part of the game and part of managing it. And look, when this happens in a semi or it happens in a first round, regardless, you know, you got to try to push through it. And so much credit to Tommy for fighting through this third set here. But, you know, I'll never forget, there was one Australian Open where Rafa's hand literally gashed open with his calluses. You could barely hold the racket. The guy somehow taped the palm of his hand, found a way to continue and push himself through into the final. It's brutal. But, Linz, when you find something like that on the court, kind of just got to try to push through unless it's making it worse, yeah?
Yeah, we talked a lot in this women's draw, Caroline Wozniacki. At one point, her wrist was swollen and black and blue and wasn't sure if she was able to hold the racket. Then the next we hear, she hurt her foot and was getting it numb for matches. I mean, it's remarkable what the players go through in an individual sport. You don't really want to let people know what's happening. Obviously, when you're on a match court, everybody sees. Everyone could see Sinner kind of shaking out his wrist and holding it on the changeovers. Everyone could see Tommy Paul's movement. Was hampered a little bit after that ankle turn in the tiebreak. That's part of the game. But to try and find a way, try and figure out if I can stay out here, it's always a challenge going through a player's mind. There's a lot more tournaments coming up. You never want to risk more. But these players knew these were big matches. Yeah. They wanted to try and stay out there and give their best. But a little bit of a shame that in both of them, there was something in play more than the tennis.
Yeah. We heard Francis Tiafoe say, it was a few weeks ago, tennis players, greatest athletes on the planet of any sport. And you're seeing it play out. There's nothing soft about tennis players. They are tough as nails.
There's nothing soft. And look, you can compare all the different kinds of sports because, look, they're all brutal in their own way. But the one thing about tennis, there's absolutely no subbing out.
No.
Yeah. You know, it's you one
way or
another.
Even though we want to at times.
Wait, listen, we want to, load management, all of it. But, you know, it's just you out there.
Yeah.
Just you out there against that one other opponent. Coaches, but not really. You got to figure that stuff out yourself. And by the way, we get a rematch from last year's final. So let's see what went down in 2023 between Carlos Alcaraz and Daniil Medvedev. Just the second time in tournament history, there's a repeat of the previous year's final.
Yeah, Carlos was just completely in his bag all tournament last year. He only had that one real tough set against Jannik Sinner in the semifinal 7-6 where he was down set point. And here he's just doing everything. You saw offense on that first highlight. You see in defense here, he's anticipating well. That wide serve really burned Medvedev. And Medvedev never really changed his return position. Pulling him all the way out wide, he could finish with a drop shot or bump and rush off that forehand up the line, and that kicker, another brutal tactic that he utilized, and Medvedev never really stepped up. So I'm curious if we're going to see any adjustments in the Medvedev return position. And when he's doing that kind of offense, the defense, and then you got the crush and rush on the second serve, not much you can do.
Love the crush and rush. We had Will Ferrell in the stands the other day, a little shake and bake. I mean, Carlos Alcaraz has everything working for him. He dominated this match. 3-2 to win the title here at Indian Wells. And by the way, that got him back to number one in the world past Novak Djokovic. Right now, we are seeing this kind of Carlitos Alcaraz on the court once again. You see the head-to-head between these two. 3-2 in favor of the Spaniard. Last time Medvedev won was the U.S. Open semifinals. That was a big win. And then, of course, Carlos Alcaraz winning in the final last year. But it's pretty tight. They played four times last year.
Very tight last year. And that U.S. Open semi, which was a really big match for Medvedev to win and kind of change a bit of the momentum in the way their head-to-head has been going, Medvedev threw in some serve and volleys there. Mm. He started taking the front court away from Alcaraz, not letting him attack as much. And I think that's a very useful tactic for him. On this kind of court, we'll see if he chooses to do it.
Now, those are all the X's and O's that we're always fascinated to see what players come up with out there. And as you mentioned, it was Alcaraz at this tournament who started to serve and volley and try and take advantage of the Medvedev court positioning on the return. We saw Medvedev move it around at the Australian Open. He was way back for some matches. He moved up to the baseline on others. He's always thinking out there, and he's always trying to throw his opponent off. So he's going to be prepared for whatever Alcaraz throws at him. He always is willing to kind of take chances out there. Who will serve and volley more here, Prakash?
I mean, if you're going to ask me the question straight up, I'm definitely going with the Spaniard. I think Medvedev can use it as a surprise tactic. I think the serve and volley for Alcaraz, will be compared to how well Medvedev toggles and changes his return position. If he's standing behind at that Indian Wells sign, that kicker and that wide serve from Alcaraz is going to burn him.
Alcaraz looking to defend a title for a third time in his career. Medvedev looking to win his 21st tour-level title at a 21st different event. Incredible stuff. This one's coming up top of the hour. Iga Swiatek joining us at the desk momentarily to talk about her big win in the desert. You're watching TC Live on a Championship Sunday. Stay with us, everybody. Welcome back. An absolutely dominating performance from start to finish this tournament. Iga Swiatek, the champion once again at Indian Wells. That trophy at the BNP Paribas Open. Looking good next to Iga, and we've got the champ with us on the desk. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Second title here.
Yeah.
How does this one compare to the one you won a couple years ago?
Oh, my God. I haven't thought about that. Hard to say, but it was weird that, you know, we both play. We and Maria played again, you know, in the final because we haven't played a match since then, you know. So pretty fun, but hard to compare because I remember that last time I was mostly, you know, proud because I was becoming world number two. So a lot has happened since then. And this tournament for sure kind of changed my life 2 years ago because I thought, you know, I can actually win on hard court more. So this time I would say I kind of maybe got used to it more. But for sure, I know that how much work we had to put, you know, after Australia to just practice well and, you know, change some stuff. And actually, you know, I think mentally I handled this tournament pretty well. Sometimes, you know, it wasn't the easiest one off court because I felt like I can play my game, like there's nothing that can actually stop me. But there are always, you know, some kind of doubts. So I'm happy that I worked through them during the tournament. And during these last two matches, I was, you know, pretty confident and just, you know, I just went for it.
It's so interesting to hear you say that. It's such a dominant world number one to have your doubts. But when the draw came out, there were some players that you had to play early on. Danielle yeah. Collins, who's obviously a tough opponent, but also Linda Noskova, who beat you in Australia. You talked about 2 years ago how important this was. You left as the world number two, but now you come in as a world number one where your expectations change. How have you been able to adjust that?
Honestly, I try to not expect anything because I know I mean, you could see in Australia that any of us can actually, you know, win these matches. You can't predict and you can't really know what's going to happen on a tennis court. So you, the only thing I can focus on is the process. And actually, I think today was the biggest test because I was, you know, leading kind of, you could say, easily, you know. You could see, I mean, I could see the trophy in front of my eyes, but I couldn't really think about that. So all this mental training really worked. And for sure, these matches at the beginning of the tournament were tough. I felt again that, you know, I don't have any, you know, lucky draw because in Australia, for sure, I had the toughest draw possible I could get, probably the toughest I had in my career. And here I felt like it was pretty similar. But then I knew that if I want to win this tournament, I have to win against, you know, the best players or the players that I don't feel comfortable playing against. So I just worked and I knew that if I'm going to play these matches, the draw can also open up, you know. So now I'm here.
Well, you had a great season in 2023. You won 6 titles. So impressive. But you made a change in the off season. I noticed you changed your service motion, and the whole week I've been geeking out over a player at number one in the world still willing to make changes to try and get better. What was the thought process with the serve?
I don't think, honestly, the process is done yet. My serve is not good as yours.
No, please.
so we still have work to do, but for sure we want to make it, you know, shorter to be more smooth because sometimes, you know, especially when I was stressed a little bit more, the movement kind of wasn't really smooth. Sometimes my racket stopped, you know, here. We wanted to change that. My coach honestly wanted to change that since the beginning when we started working, but there wasn't much time. We tried in 2022 as well, but we only had like 2 weeks before grass, and I realized that I can't make it in 2 weeks, you know. So now in the preseason, I was really kind of disciplined. I knew from the beginning that I want to work on it, and I don't think the process is done yet because sometimes my movement changes a little bit from time to time, but you know, it's muscle memory, so you know, sooner or later it's gonna be more natural, and for sure we're gonna keep working. There's always something to work on in tennis, so these little details are important.
And Iga, you've been at the top of the game for quite some time now, and when you came on, you had that, you know, 37 match win streak, and you know, it's a lot to adjust to. And one of the things Lindsay and I were talking about is, you know, you seem so relaxed. You know, you seem like
seem relaxed.
You're smiling a lot more. And I'm just curious if life at the top, you're sort of experiencing it a little bit different now than when you first came on top.
Actually, when I first became world number one, I felt like for sure I need to, you know, prove that I'm in the right place. But I really enjoyed it, and I, you know, used this to actually put more pressure on my opponents, and just I felt really kind of strong. Then I felt like it was all up and down. Then I felt like I have a target on my back, you know. So, and then again, I feel like now I can use it as an advantage. And I know that some players, you know, are thinking more about how to play against me than I have to think about how to play against them, if you know what I mean. And this, you know, mental things can also influence the game. I'm not really focusing on that and thinking about that. It's all more like backstage, you know. But now I feel like I can enjoy it. But obviously the pressure still is high and the expectations are high. I think any player in the top of WTA or ATP can confirm. But I think I'm handling it pretty well, and I handled it well in 2022. So I think there was the biggest possibility that something may go wrong, you know. But if I could play there, then if I could, you know, play under pressure last year after, you know, losing pretty heartbreaking match at the US Open and finish the season well, I think honestly I can do anything. So I'll just work hard, and if I'll focus on the right things, the, you know, all these things that I want are gonna come.
It's all paying off for you, Iga. Another title here, following up the title in Doha, and 20 wins this year already. Listen, a lot of times you don't talk about the music you listen to until the end. So what were the winning tunes this week at Indian Wells?
Honestly, my playlist is still the same, so pretty boring. But I've changed it in Beijing last year, and, you know, the the last time I changed was like 2 years ago. So still it's kind of fresh. I don't want to change my routines too much, but I have Led Zeppelin.
Like it.
AC/DC. What is there?
Oh my God, now I forgot.
Good stuff.
Sorry, too many interviews.
It's been rocking out.
But it's pretty much the same. During the matches, I can see that people are, DJs are putting on Taylor Swift, which I like. So maybe it's not like the best song to like pump yourself up. But during some matches, I was also kind of, humming Taylor Swift in my head.
Iga, you weren't really threatened too much on the court. I mean, especially after winning those first sets, some of those second sets, you just ran through it. It seemed like the only thing that really surprised you was the confetti at the end over there.
And no, I just thought it's going to happen a little bit later, when I actually grabbed the trophy or something. But yeah, I would say also lifting the trophy was hard.
Was that heavy? I mean, that looked...
That's like 30 kilos.
Oh,
yeah.
Crazy,
right?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Look at those muscles, though.
I wanted to like look smooth, but
you did.
I look too masculine because I'm lifting it.
No,
you look great.
Fantastic.
Look great.
I'm working on the gym too much.
I gotta ask you the goals. Rest of the season, what are they?
Well, honestly, my game over the last couple of years, I'm winning more than I would ever expect. So I was never that kind of player that sets, goals like, oh, I want to win this tournament and this one, or win amount of matches, because I actually wanted to see how I'm going to go, take it step by step. But for sure, I want to perform well on clay, on the Olympics. The Olympics are going to be an important tournament. But on the other hand, I want to treat it as any other and just... it's for sure going to be stressful. So I don't want to put more pressure on myself. But I'm really trying to take it step by step because last year at the beginning of the season, when I thought, oh my God, I'm going to play this 80 something matches again. I really felt tired even when I started the season in Australia. So this time I'm just, thinking about the next tournament. So now it's Miami and, we'll see what's going to, come after that. Really, step by step is the right way to go.
Yeah, 80, that's a big number. Don't worry about that. Just one match at a time.
Yeah, exactly.
One tournament at a time. Congratulations. Second title here in the desert. Thanks for spending some time with us.
And thank you, guys.
We wish you the best of luck heading into Miami. Yeah.
Thank you.
Iga Świątek, your 2024 BNP Paribas Open champion. Second title here in the desert. Doesn't drop a set the entire tournament, barely dropping games, just dominating the women's game right now. The world number one, raising the trophy with her team.
Yep, get rid of that yet.
Yeah. That's best of the best, Linz. That's for later. Do you have doubts? Welcome back. After Indian Wells, the sport's top men and women will take their talents to South Beach. Don't miss complete first ball to last ball live coverage of the Miami Open right here on Tennis Channel with daily bonus coverage on T2. The action begins Tuesday, 11 a.m. Eastern. And we've got Andy Roddick and Monica Puig joining me on TC Live for post-game shows all tournament long. Well, the men's doubles final was Friday. Wesley Kulhoff, Nikola Mektic going for their third title of the season against Marcel Grenoyers and Horacio Zaballos, Prakash.
Well, they've been tremendously successful with other partners, but now they just teamed up this year and they've been finding just as much success. You can see how well they clean up the net there, taking over the middle, short back swings, using their movement to be able to cut off the ball, put away the ball at the net. Horacio Zaballos, though, he's been around for a minute. Lovely little left-handed serving volley, a little Carvery on that backhand volley there, trying to push things towards a breaker here. A little roll lob there over Kulhoff's head. Nice get here, but a little drop shot from the Spaniard. Granollers, he's had some success in singles, but he's done really well on the doubles court over the last 15 years. Goes into a breaker for the second time, but it was Kulhoff and Mektic who were just a little bit too solid all the way through. Nice doubles point here. Hands from both players, but double lob. Cool and the gang putting on two lobs in one point.
Cool and the gang.
Moving ahead, just a little bit too strong again at the net, not letting that middle go.
They have a 250, a 500, and now a Masters 1000 title this season. Wesley Kulhoff said maybe the next one will be a major. We'll be there in Paris for Roland Garros. That trophy looks good on him. How about the ladies, the top seeds? Shay Su Wei, Elisa Mertens going for their second BNP Paribas Open doubles title, taking on Storm Hunter and Katerina Siniakova. They are the Australian Open champs. Shay is back, Lindsay. And she's about to get to number one in the world.
Yeah, and they already have their Grand Slam title, as you mentioned, Steve, for the year. This team, they play so well together. Elisa Mertens, such a great singles player as well. But how they work together on the doubles court is so impressive. Nobody likes to see Shay on the other side of the net with her placement and her skill set. So tricky to play against. And combined with Elisa's intensity, but also her power, they have made for a great combination.
Didn't drop a set all tournament, Linz. The win putting Shay back to world number one, moving past Mertens by just 24 points. The duo joined us at the desk after. What worked best for you out there and what worked this entire tournament? Didn't drop a set.
I think we were really focused throughout the whole tournament. I mean, we really feel each other on court. That's what you saw today, too. We were kind of on a roll, I guess.
First season back since 2021. And you already are another major title, Sue, and now the championship here. We could have had like five or six more of these things.
You're putting too much pressure.
What brought you all back together?
I asked her.
That's all it took?
She said yes to me.
Was it easy? You just said yes like this?
I said, oh, is it Elise? Okay, say yes.
No, I think with our history together and winning a slam together, winning Indian Wells in the past too. So, I mean, we really felt confident playing together again. And, you know, it worked out having a slam this year and Indian Wells again. So very happy that we teamed up.
I mean, this is an underrated story, Lindsay. The fact that Su Wei Shay, 38 years old now, coming back, having been gone, and now she's already at number one in the world.
Yeah, she's a fascinating story, and just her history of how she got into the sport and how she managed herself during her professional career when she was also playing singles. Said goodbye to singles earlier this season. We were hoping that didn't mean doubles, and it didn't, which is a good sign for all the tennis fans out there. But she has always played her way. She has always handled it however she's wanted, which is really refreshing in the sport of players that get so caught up with playing every week or worried about rankings. Hey, she plays when she wants to play. She plays with who she wants to play, and she plays how she wants to play. And that's one of the greatest things about watching her compete.
Can we talk about how much money she's saving with not stringing rackets?
Yeah.
Like, she can't even remember the last time she strung a racket. Strings them nice and loose, yeah, and just, you know, no real topspin on the ball, just kind of bunts it flat. So exceptionally how she does it. But that's got to be the only player that does it. Elise said she does it every day, like most of the other players. Exceptional.
She also told us that just playing doubles is retirement. She's like, I'm retired. I'm just playing doubles now.
She's like, this is my retirement. I practice three times a week.
Oh, my goodness.
Play a little bit.
The other players hate hearing that, don't they?
Like, I want a 6-hour massage. I mean,
6 hours a day for massage. Steve's like, that sounds like a pretty good life.
Can
like
we
that.
Become doubles players?
If
you could do it like her, geez, sounds good.
No practice, no need to string rackets,
wins.
And still not
problem.
Just wins. Number one in the world.
Yeah, exactly. It's
a beautiful day here in the desert. We have had rain over the past few
Don't
weeks.
Don't say that, Steve.
Okay. I won't say it
anymore. No rain.
Let's go to Fox Weather, see what they have to say.
It's so good. We're not jinxing it today.
Hello, tennis fans. I'm Fox Weather's Kendall Smith, and this is your today's BNP Open Tennis Forecast. You can expect sunny skies today for Indian Wells, California, with a high temperature topping out right around 77 degrees. Remember, you can download the Fox Weather app or stream Fox Weather from your favorite connected TV device.
No worries, Lindsay. Kendall says we're all good. It's just sunny and it's beautiful, and we've got our men's final coming up at the top of the hour. Daniil Medvedev taking on Carlos Alcaraz. Jason Goodall, Jim Courier, Paul Anacone will be on the call for this one. We will talk more about it when we come back on TC Live. Lindsay Prakash, Steve, back with you on TC Live. We are running it back from last year. Daniil Medvedev, Carlos Alcaraz, heading into Stadium 1 in less than a half hour, top of the hour. It is the men's singles final, 5 o'clock Eastern. It is now time for Best of the Best from the Desert.
Incredible!
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's an amazing point.
That's just big hitting there.
Mark that down for Best of the Best.
At number 5, Coco Gauff. In round 3, doing what she does best, Prakash.
Well, just a little bit of that dynamic movement. Little defense here. Guessing right on the left side and a strong left hand, hooking that backhand up the line. You gotta love that. She's so good on the offense. But Linz, when she's turning up this defense, ooh, girl is on fire.
Bronzetti thought she had one. Grilled like a Branzino there. At number 4, Linz, Holger Rune against Taylor Fritz.
Yeah, what a shot this was from Holger. Got himself back in the match in the second set, and then showtime. Could do that, right, Prakash?
Well, not with that hang time. You know, in my day, I used to be able to get up, Linz, but he got a few feet off the ground there. Little shades of Andre with that hook around the neck with that forehand there. Love to see it.
So good. Prakash would have gone tweener, but Holger chooses to run around.
So good.
By the way, that's the smarter shot than the tweener.
Way smarter.
Safer, too.
Could you make the best of the best? At number 3, how about this tournament for Katie Vallinets?
Well, got a big shout out to Katie here because Ons tries to do Ons here, but Katie tracking this down, out Ons's Ons with that carvery. This is actually a great shot from Ons here, but Katie
can't believe she got there, first of all. And then backspin drop shot.
Check out the angle here. She's
perfectly played.
Around and under the ball. Ons has to approve.
Vallinets, keep an eye out for her. BJK Cup, maybe. We'll see. Carlos Alcaraz taking on Sasha Zverev. How about Carlitos there?
Carlos doing Carlos things. And obviously, one of the most dynamic, explosive players. But look at the banana bend he gets, Steve.
Bend it like Beckham.
Shake and bake like Ricky Bobby in the stands.
Put Zverev in a glass case of emotion. Good stuff from Carlitos. We will see more from him later today. But at number 1, you gotta go with Lamoff. Allez le bleu, vive la France.
Late 30s, nothing. I mean, this guy with the feel, the drop shot, giving Hubie a chance to give his own hot shot here. Couple tweeners here in this point, but Lamoff with the jump, the dunk, little Jordan there after he takes it. I think for me, the reaction was the coldest. He gives it the little Jordan shrug, 92 finals against the Blazers. Give it to him, Lamoff.
He's like, I don't know. What can I tell you? I'm still the man.
So good. So good.
Still Matic. Gael Monfils. At this age, Lindsay, how much did it impress you to see what he was able to accomplish this week?
Oh, I love it. We all love to see Monfils when he is playing his best but also engaged. And he was this entire tournament, made a great run, great comeback against Cam Nori, down a set in 3 love. But he entertains the fans like no one else. So we want more Monfils. We want him more on the big courts. Definitely the fans do as well.
And you know what's also beautiful? Him and Elena playing so well, they're both fueled by love. They're both fueled by love. And they're both winning. It's great to see.
We've got so much love in the sport right now.
Love means everything, Steve. We all know that.
I mean, Katie Bolter, Alex Dimonor, Gems Life, Sitsidosa, Potapova, Shevchenko.
I want to see that tournament. I want to see the couple.
Yeah, we got to make it.
Oh, wow.
We asked Gal about it. We asked Alex about it. And they were like, let's have a tournament for all the power couples in tennis. Yeah. A little exhibition.
Do Steph and Andre get invited?
Sure. We can have OG.
They should have like a bye into the final. Yeah, and everyone else should play to try to get there and play them in the challenge round.
I would still take them right now.
By the way, they look fitter than ever. They both look amazing, striking the ball clean.
No.
Mm. These past 2 weeks have had some special moments, some of them great, some of them that we've never seen before. This was the upset of the tournament. It was on Monday. The lucky loser, Luka Nardi, took out Novak Djokovic, lowest-ranked player to defeat Djokovic at the Masters 1000 or Grand Slam level. Lindsay is a guy who grew up with a poster of Djokovic on his bedroom door.
Yeah, this was a shocker, and to see Nardi be able to close out the match pretty comfortably as well.
Let's hear from the youngster after shocking the world.
You've beaten the world number one. How did you keep your nerve? You seem so calm out here tonight.
I don't know, man. Really, I don't know. I mean, I think that this is a miracle because, you know, I'm a 20 years old guy, 100 in the world, and beating Novak. So crazy.
What a moment for Luka Nardi. I don't know who had known about him previously. I mean, certainly, you know, next gen, stuff like that. But to beat Novak Djokovic, the world number one, in a place where Nole had won five times, Prakash.
Well, you got to also understand, you've never really been on a stadium like this ever before. I mean, this is a kid who hasn't been in the top 100, so he doesn't really even know what it's like to be at this tournament. They take care of your laundry. You're staying in nicer hotels. Like, everything is completely new for him. And then to go out there against the greatest of all time, somehow come out with a win, it's not even David and Goliath. It's kind of one of those things that can only happen in sport. It's why you roll out the balls, and it just kind of shows you that, you know what? Impossible is possible.
And by the way, he had already lost. It was a lucky loser.
That's right.
So late gets into the tournament just like, oh, by the way, you're going to be in the draw. And, oh, by the way, you're going to be playing Novak. But Italy, they're doing something right now and how they're developing their players, how many tournaments they have. The players in Italy, they don't have to go far for high-level competition. The country's really invested in hosting a lot of tournaments, either on the satellite or the challenger level, the junior level as well. So these guys and girls over there, they just get to hone their skills and their home country, continue to work, continue to improve, and you're seeing that across the rankings.
By the way, that's the last time we'll see Novak Djokovic until the red clay season. Yep. What did you make of Novak pulling out of Miami, Lindsay?
Exactly, and his reason why. At his age, he's going to pick and choose where he wants to play, when it makes sense, and really when he wants to play. Mm. What didn't look thrilled on the court here, obviously didn't play at the level he wanted to play at. He had a lot of commercial commitments as well coming in here. Interesting to see still, was he at the Laker game? Was that last night or two nights ago?
Enjoying LA. He's been, you know, he's doing his thing.
Yeah, he spoke a lot about wanting to be with his two children even more. Yeah. And obviously in traveling and the kids are in school, they don't travel all that much. Wants to go home and kind of reset for the red clay. It's all about the majors for Novak, and he's going to try and get himself in the best possible condition, both mentally and physically, for Paris.
When you're the GOAT, you can make your own schedule. And by the way, the Olympics this year at Roland Garros, that's one of the boxes that he has yet to check off. So really has his eyes focused on that as well. Oh, what a week it was for Coco Gauff, making the semifinals here. Not only that, she celebrated her 20th birthday right here on the BMW desk and just took a bite out of that cake.
You gotta love that. She just went right into it, no hesitation. And you know what? She made a strong wish too. You could tell that wish was strong.
Blew out the candles right away. Were you expecting that, Lindsay? Just taking the bite out of the cake.
No, where were our forks? Where were the forks for the
where
poor
were the
young
utensils?
Lady? Come on.
No. Come on. That's the one thing we were missing. I said, get a cake. I said, get at least 20 candles. I was like, we don't need utensils. I know Coco will just dive right in.
That's also symbolic of her tennis because she doesn't want a piece. She wants the whole bakery. That's what she's coming for on the WTA. So why not the same with her birthday cake? Yeah,
the teenage years are over. Now it's, the roaring 20s.
Yeah. Well, what's wild is that at 20 years old, Lynn, she feels like a veteran.
Right.
She's been winning out there for so long.
Yeah, we've seen her on tour for really came before our eyes at Wimbledon when she was 15 years old. Wow. Had to play Venus in the very first match. And it's so great what she was able to accomplish with a tremendous amount of eyes and a lot of pressure and everybody really willing her to that title. Who's a tennis fan here in the United States. What she did at the U.S. Open was amazing. She's going to reset. Didn't play her best here. We were talking about injuries. She also was not feeling well against Sakkari. Said she was nauseous. Didn't look great for a period of that match. Rain delay helped her a little bit. But let's get her back healthy and let's see how she competes in Miami.
Got that In-N-Out burger on her way to Miami.
She knows what she was doing.
Yeah, gave it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
I just want to know what the order was. You know, 4x4, animal style.
Find out in Miami.
I will.
We'll ask her about it.
That's number one of my questions.
Forget about whatever match.
First question I'm asking her.
Did we go double-double? Did we go extra protein? By the way, we had that sweet honey sweet cake, and then we had honeybees. I mean, the bee invasion, something that we have never seen before on a tennis court, interrupting Alcaraz and Zverev after just two games. And Carlitos got stung. I mean, this was scary. It wasn't even funny for a moment.
That's probably the only time I've seen him off balance on a tennis court. Oh, poor Mohamed. Poor Mohamed Layani. That was rough. But, I mean, Linz, I've seen a lot of things on court. I mean, we've seen, like, a paraglider at the French one time. We've seen a streaker at Wimbledon. Definitely the Then Javier Bardem from No Country for Old Men shows up and saves the day.
Lance Davis, the beekeeper, became a global icon. And this man was on CNN International, getting interviewed by
everyone. And high fives from the fans at that moment.
Looks like a rock star. The hair, the glasses, no gloves, no mask, nothing.
Yeah, and he had been here earlier in the week removing a hive in the player area, the player dining that was outside.
Oh, wow.
So maybe they need to have him on site on call here.
Maybe he needed to move that hive farther away.
Exactly.
He just like, that same swarm came back. But that was scary. I mean, to see all those bees on the court.
Well, listen, we're all laughing, having a great time, but it could have turned out a lot worse.
Yeah, exactly.
In the end, we had our first bee invasion.
We did.
And we survived, and so did Carlos. And what he said after, he's like, I've survived the bees. I've survived the rain. What's going to happen in this final? Hopefully nothing, but we'll have it for you at the top of the hour. If it goes down, Jason, Jim, and Paul, we'll talk about it. That is for sure. Our FanDuel match preview. Who is the odds-on favorite to win later today? Carlitos or Medvedev? Don't go anywhere. Back on TC Live, leading you up to the Men's Championship here at the BNP Paribas Open. Time for our FanDuel match preview. Carlos Alcaraz, pretty big favorite here, leads the head-to-head 3-2, including a win in last year's final. Last match of the ATP Finals, played four times last year. Carlitos went 3-1. What do you make of these odds, Prakash?
I think they're a little extreme. I would have thought maybe -200 for Carlitos. I mean, Medvedev, certainly capable of winning, and especially given last year's final, I think we're definitely going to see some adjustments from him coming into today. I do think Alcaraz is the favorite. I do like him to be able to come through and win, but I mean, that's pretty massive, Linz. -270?
Yeah, especially for a player who plays as well on the hard courts as Medvedev has, and especially this tournament and how he's handled his adversity that has been thrown at him. We talk about Carlos and the bees, but Medvedev's had a tough path also, some tough opponents.
He certainly has. But listen, Linz, you picked Medvedev from the start, so you're putting the house on this. I mean, +215? Come on.
Let's go for it.
It's good money. That's good. That's good bet.
215, 100 to win 215? That's pretty good.
I'd like some funky bets out there, like net approaches. You know, over, under 15.
How many serve and volleys?
You know, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Over, under 7 serve and volleys?
I'll take the over.
Oh, yeah.
Carlos, what about Medvedev?
Over for sure.
Over.
Everyone's serving volume. All right. Yep. Like to see it. Right now, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets if your $5 bet wins. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and start making every moment more. Let's head inside the social net right now, see what's trending. We mentioned this a little bit earlier when we were talking about Novak Djokovic. He's been hanging out in L.A. doing his thing. There's Steph Curry at the Lakers game, trading autographs. A racket for a jersey. That's a good deal.
I love that. Greatness meeting greatness. You know, Steph Curry loves tennis. Novak, big basketball fan. I love seeing that.
He saw
a Warriors game
ago.
Not too long ago.
San Francisco,
I just love greatness from different sports coming together. Yep. Because, look, you've gone through different paths to be able to get to this level of greatness, but there's a commonality that you definitely bond over.
Did you give any rackets to other cool athletes in other sports, Lindsay?
Probably.
Okay.
It's a while ago.
Was there like a player, though, like a skier or like a volleyball player?
I think so many great athletes around.
Nobody that you remembered. It was like, that was the one I wanted. All right. Steph Curry's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
I love this.
Yeah.
We'll see if Novak ever goes back home. I think he's going to stay in L.A. Get a house there in the hills and kick it in Beverly. All right, back to preview this matchup. Medvedev, Alcaraz, top of the hour. It's all going down right here on Tennis Channel.
TC Live at the BNP Paribas Open is brought to you in part by FanDuel. Make every moment more.
Fans have been so good here in Tennis Paradise, and it is getting packed inside Stadium 1 for the rematch from last year's final. Can Daniil Medvedev get over the hump against Carlos Alcaraz, or will the Spaniard win his second title here in the desert? We are just moments away from walkouts inside Stadium 1. Looking forward to both players getting in that golf cart, making their way into the bowels of the stadium, and then walking out in front of the 16,000 strong. We've talked a lot about this match already over the past 90 minutes, but even more to discuss. What area of the court is going to be most important between these two?
I think it's going to be the baseline for Daniil Medvedev, and it's going to be the front court for Carlos Alcaraz. Let's start with Medvedev first. I think he's got to look at his return position. Carlos completely burned him with that wide serve in the deuce court, that wide serve in the ad court. He was able to serve and volley, play drop shots into the open court. Medvedev's got to cut off the court a little bit, try to take a little bit of time away from Alcaraz. That's on his side. Alcaraz, on the other hand, I think he's got to dominate the net. He was so strong picking and choosing when to come in earlier this week and in the final last year. So I think for each of them, it's those different little thirds of the court.
Yeah, we talked about serve and volleys, how many will there be? How many drop shots will Alcaraz hit? And if Medvedev positions himself so far back where he's normally positioned and he's comfortable, he's going to get burned by that. And so Medvedev's got to be careful with how he approaches this match, with where he also plays the points. Not only the return, Alcaraz, one of the best players at pushing a player back with pace, but then also using the drop shot. He can finish points off at net. Medvedev's going to have to come up with something special, something different. We know he's going to come up with something. He always does. It will be interesting to see what that is.
Yep. He's the hardcourt specialist looking to complete the Masters box set of titles. We'll see if he can get that done. Carlos Alcaraz, 11 straight wins here at the BNP Paribas Open. Can he get title number two? It is all going down when we come back here on Tennis Channel. Jason Goodall, Hall of Famer Jim Courier, Paul Anacone will be calling it. For Lindsay Davenport, for Kash Amitraj, I'm Steve Weisman. Thanks for joining us on this pregame edition of TC Live.